The Singh brothers are back together. And are you do nothing bitches or do something bitches? And is the crown jewel still happening? All that and more on Raw After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Every time I come around your city, bang, bang.
So this is in honor of the crown jewel may or may not be happening. We'll see. My name is TK Trinidad. You can find me on everything on at TK Trinidad. And we have, he is the man with the master plan that is going to kill us all. Maybe not you guys, not me.
Not today.
Robert Bain, the destroyer. What's up?
Not today.
Not today.
I was gone last week. I was working on Wow Women of Wrestling.
I was there too.
You were there. Yeah,
it was fun.
It was a really big taping.
Yeah.
A lot of people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How strong is Tessa?
Strong. Yeah. She caught me right in the nose.
Oh.
Yeah, went to break up a fight between Tessa Blanchard and...
Somebody.
God, which one was it? I can't remember.
That felt like 2 weeks ago.
Anyway, she just caught me right in the nose and...
Did she say sorry at least?
No.
Okay.
Never do.
Well, let's get into it. How do you think of the show overall?
Overall, they're trying to sell a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's feeling more and more like a... an infomercial than a television show.
Yeah. It was a lot. It felt like it was more than 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot to go.
They were trying to, I mean, to their credit, they're trying to have a TV show. They're trying to sell WWE Evolution. They're mm-hmm. trying to sell Crown Jewel.
Right.
They don't know
is going to happen.
As of now, I think they're pretty locked in.
Saudi Arabia?
But international relations usually don't affect wrestling shows. That's usually not a thing that happens, especially with WWE.
Journalists.
Well, yeah. Now they're admitting it. But they say he died due to interrogation gone wrong. Which, just say it. Just say you killed him. Just admit it already. It's a mess. This whole thing is just messy. And I read an article on, I think it was CNBC, said that other sponsors stateside are threatening to pull out mm-hmm. if WWE goes through with this.
Yeah.
So it might affect their bottom line.
It's interesting the fact that, this is going like way political, but the fact that Linda McMahon is in the...
Yeah.
And the isn't he in the Hall of Fame, President Trump?
No. Yeah,
he's affiliate. Yeah, and he's not saying. Anywho,
this is news. This is now a part of our wrestling world. We have to talk about.
And the
this.
Fact that like there are people that are in it is crazy. But we'll get to the show because there's a lot that was going on. So there was a match. Well, essentially the Shield, which we thought was eventually going to break up, but they're not broken up as yet. Not like, you know, B2K.
Oh, but it's barely holding on.
Yeah.
With just scotch tape and wishes.
Yeah. It's like that bra strap for like a really big girl that's holding on like the last clasp. Like right there. It's like just holding on. And you don't want to buy a new bra because you think you're going to lose the weight, but you never do. And it's just that one clasp.
I'm going to the gym tomorrow. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great.
So, you have an intercontinental champion, Seth Rollins. He goes up against Drew McIntyre. And what do you think of this whole match?
It was good. I mean, it's always interesting to see how things are going to work as far as Shield are concerned. Individually, they're great.
Right.
They're really strong individually. It seems to be right now when they get together, things just start to fall apart.
Are you talking about Drew and Dolph, or are you talking about the Shield?
Shield.
Okay.
More than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph and Drew look strong enough.
Right.
And especially individually. Drew McIntyre is probably
one
of the best athletes right now, and he showed it against Seth Rollins mm-hmm. with both his strength and his endurance. Rollins is a step ahead of him. Rollins is
CrossFit Jesus.
Probably the most agile individual on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
He's and deceptively strong to boot. but he definitely cannot play the power game with Drew McIntyre, mm-hmm. who put on a headlock and just would not let it go, like a dog with a bone, just working that headlock, slowing the pace down to where he wanted it.
Right.
And that's the truth of Seth Rollins. If you ground him, if you slow him down, you're able to really cut off a lot of his offense because he needs a lot of momentum in order to get the ball rolling.
Right.
But if you just grab him and put him down, he really is not great. His strikes are okay, but it's not enough to get him out of the box. That's Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose, if you sit him down and he gives you one good shot to the face, it changes the entire course of the match. That's not Seth Rollins.
Feels like you're talking about like 3-year-old toddlers that are trying to get out of the crib.
Yes.
Something like that.
Breaking out.
Seth Rollins defeats Drew McIntyre via countout, and he qualifies for the World Cup.
Not exactly a victory. Not the strongest statement in the world when you beat a guy via countout. You beat him because shenanigans happened.
Right.
Because Dean Ambrose was there, because Dolph Ziggler was there. You won because you barely got in right when all of
the
silliness went down. You didn't beat him. You did not beat Drew McIntyre.
I think he knows that, but he's just happy to be in the World Cup by any means necessary.
I think he's happy to be out of harm's way because that is what Drew McIntyre offers, is just damage for days. Mm-hmm. He can take you out. And that's the what you really get when you sort of win against Drew McIntyre right. in this fashion. You're out of harm's way. You're able to move on to whatever the next problem is that you have to solve.
Yeah. I like the – I hope they just go back to that Drew-Dolph combo, which, you know, if you watch the show, you'd see that kind of
we'll
there was
get
a breakup.
There.
So I hope – I like that combo versus what they're doing now.
Right.
So we have Tamina reappears again, thankfully. So it's Nia Jax and Ember Moon going up against Dana Brooke and Tamina. Dana Brooke
is I don't know. There's something somebody likes about her.
It's just one of those things where you see some superstars and you're wondering, like, are there stories that are being planned, or do you just not want them to go somewhere else? Or, like, I get Dana Brooke. It's just she's I don't know what to do with.
When you need somebody in a scenario with no real affiliation, especially now that she's broken away from Titus Worldwide.
Seems like everybody has.
Right, yeah. And the writing's kind of on the wall after tonight.
Right, which is interesting because Titus Worldwide just got, or Titus O'Neil, was in the top 100 for Ebony Magazine, the most influential people. I don't think we've seen him in like 2 or 3 weeks.
I don't know. He's in a really tough position. I think he's way better as a manager than he is anything else. But when you manage a team or an individual who is not racking up any wins and it really isn't going anyplace, you're sort of spinning your wheels.
Right.
I mean, you've got to move on at some point.
It seems like, I don't know if they're going to do that, but it seems like they're almost going to move him into like that Mark Henry type thing where he just goes and does community service for WWE, which is what he's good at. Like, he has the affiliation, which he has a picture. He was hanging out with Michelle Obama.
No,
like,
he's Titus O'Neil is great.
Right.
No one is disputing that.
In ring,
he's not the best.
Right.
But he's really come a long way as far as charisma is concerned, mm-hmm. and I would love to see him in a management role, managing some talent.
Yeah.
But things got complicated with Apollo Crews, and then Dana Brooke added on, and it just seems like that's not going anywhere.
But I think it could have went somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It could have, and it didn't.
It didn't. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, they're here now. You're still losing. So.
Yeah. Oh, they might win the championship. Nope.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But even with Dana Brooke, it just seems like there's still more people in the locker room that they could use, or they could use like a jobber. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But anyways, as we saw, Nia Jax and Ember Moon, they defeat Dana Brooke and Tamina. Then Ember Moon and Tamina toss Nia Jax out. Then Ember Moon tries to toss Tamina out, but that didn't happen. And then Dana Brooke tosses them all out, which, I don't know, are they like prepping for something?
This is leading. This was what they were talking about, the whole Battle Royale at Evolution. But really, the moment you have to watch in this match in particular is Tamina and Nia just snugging it up and beating the heck out of each other.
Right, which would, I hope, leads to something like a storyline between those two.
Hopefully, because
even Amber Moon, they're not really doing much with her either.
No,
which is sad because she's talented.
She is. I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of irons in the fire, but nothing's really being made.
I think that with so many, and I'm speaking with the women, with so many women in the locker room, they need to create, like, how the Riot Squad has their, like, thing, their faction. Like, they need to create more factions with the, like, legitimate factions where, you know, the personalities, like Sasha Banks and Bayley, thankfully they're friends again. But, like, you can kind of see why that all works. So I feel like they need to make more factions so we actually see the women being affiliated with something. Like, the fact that, you know, Ronda Rousey was out there without Natalya, even though they promoted that Natalya and Ronda Rousey were BFFs, is like, okay, well, what happened to that? Yeah, Natalya has a match, but who says Ronda Rousey couldn't have come out because Ronda didn't do anything that day. So who says Ronda couldn't have come out later on to back up Natalya? You know what I'm saying? It's like they should have legitimate factions where it's like it's almost team-esque.
Stables is what you're talking about.
Right.
More stables between
there's enough
in the women's division.
Women to do it.
And, yeah, you're right, but then you need management for those stables, you know, and it's hard enough. They are really... They're not big into managers. They are slowly changing their mind.
Right.
With the addition of Drake Maverick and now Lio Rush.
Right.
Things are changing very slowly.
Which are both from 205.
Right.
Which is weird because you could have used, like we were talking about again, Titus O'Neil. Like, you have people there. Not to say they're not great. Lio Rush is doing a great annoying job, but...
I think they're working two different angles simultaneously,
right,
putting Lashley and he together. I think they're going to be doing something. I have a theory.
Yeah.
So that we have to wait and see if that actually comes to fruition. And you couldn't do what they might be doing if Titus O'Neil were in the management position instead of Lio Rush.
Right.
You couldn't do what they may be intending to do in the very near future.
Hmm. Well, we'll see.
So it's very complicated.
It is.
But for the women, there really isn't any female manager now, and there hasn't been in quite a while.
Right.
Quite a while.
And there could be.
But who? That's the thing, is you gotta pitch it.
Right.
I don't know anybody who could really fill in that position. Not even a past female wrestler. Maybe a couple names. Maybe, you know, Medusa, Helundra Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jazz. She's still active. She's actually the NWA Women's Champion currently.
And, WWE's not.
She was
the lawsuit.
She was there once. If things... Maybe Jacqueline. Maybe. I mean, it's possible, but you'd have to get somebody with impeccable mic skills.
Yeah.
And I really can't think of anybody in the past women's division who is as good on the mic as you would need to be in that position. And I could be wrong. If you want to let me know in chat, feel free.
Yeah.
If you want to let me know in comments who you think should be a manager for a future women's stable and what that stable is,
feel free
to let me know.
I think they're in SmackDown, though. I know it's Thea Trinidad, but...
Vega. Yeah, Selena Vega. Sure. Yeah.
But I feel like if Alexa wasn't Alexa Bliss, she could be a good manager. She has great mic
skills. She was a manager.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
At one time.
So I feel like she could do that, but she's doing great in the ring as well.
But she can do both. She's a puppet master, which would make her both great as a wrestler, competitor, and a manager.
Which would make great if they had a stable.
Right.
So,
revolving around her.
Right.
And Mickey. She's already got a number two.
Right. And she had a number three, but now Alicia Fox has moved over to Jinder Mahal, which I get for Mixed Match Challenge, but it's just like that. And if you added like one more, like that could have worked out. Which leads me to TK's boudoir section. I've added it because this is what we do.
This is where we are now.
There's music.
How long have I been gone?
I don't know. TK's boudoir section.
Don't think anybody's behind the mic right
now. All right, well, there
wanna
was...
Want to come back to it?
There was...
Or do you want to...
I...
Nobody's in the booth right now.
The music was so perfect.
Well, then we can come back to this segment.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
We make plans. God laughs.
We make plans. It doesn't happen. So speaking of Mike's skills, the Bella twins, they go up, or not, they go up against them. The Ronda Rousey calls out the Bella twins, wondering why did you turn on them? It's almost like somebody who had like a one night stand is wondering why he no longer calls her anymore, or vice versa. It's like, there's no reason why. Just beat their asses.
Yeah. Literally. I checked that box. Take that how you will.
So they come out and I feel like they both had moments of, I want to say greatness, but not greatness, but moments of like, oh yeah, these are mic drops. And then there's moments of, oh, who's ever writing for them just decided.
Well, I mean, everything that Ronda said is everything that the audience has been thinking for quite a long time,
mm-hmm.
actually vocalized. And in somebody who is... I think just good enough to get away with it. You know, if anybody else had said it, it would be like, you probably shouldn't say that.
Right.
But since it was her, for some reason, it felt kind of okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It could have been somebody said Ronda's performance was fire. It could have been. But I feel like, you know, when you're writing back in the day in high school, you had to write like an essay and they said it needs to be 3 pages long and you just filled it with fluff and then there was some fire moments in it. Like, that's what, like, they could have shortened it up and it could have been just all mic drop. Like, I would have loved, like, there were certain things that I was just like,
All right. I know what you're saying. But from a television perspective, you have to fit this time slot. This
I know, but there
segment
was...
has to be X number of minutes. And you're right. Just like you said,
like
it ain't all gonna be fire.
Yeah, it was like there was like the John Cena one was great. Yeah. Then she went into some other stuff.
It's a lot of popcorn in there.
It was just like,
yeah.
Let me just copy and paste.
I don't know you a response,
but I'm gonna
here
give
it is anyway.
5 minutes worth. Like, it was great, but like again. The writers were like, okay, we have to fill, what was that, like 8 minutes or something? We have to fill 8 minutes.
It was filling a long
time. So it felt really long. It felt like 15.
And then security came out. You want to fight about it? Nah. Here comes security. She whips security's ass. Ronda Rousey has been hurting more security guards than anybody, I think, this year. Calendar year.
I mean, they should have a tally in the corner.
Yeah, bing, bing, yeah. bing,
like,
bing,
this
bing.
This is number 35. Like, who wants to go? I know
they're coming to L.A. I better watch myself.
I know.
You want me to do what? I don't want to do that.
I think it's going to be awesome.
I'm going to get hurt.
Oh, I want to see that. So, how do you feel about this? They're obviously setting up for Evolution. I've already said plenty about this topic several occasions, several different places. How do you feel about this match?
Bella's return was not great to start with.
Mm-hmm.
It hit a lot of speed bumps very early and drew a lot of criticism very quickly.
Right.
So they did the perfect wrestling thing of leaning into the criticism. You don't like me? Great. I don't like you either.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm better than the guy that you do like. So what are you going to do about it? Nothing, because you're a punk. That's what.
See, Ronda should just said that. That was 30 seconds.
This is TV. You gotta do the whole thing.
I don't know. I mean, it just Ronda's in a very weird.
Who's
position.
Ronda supposed to fight out of the two of them?
Nikki.
She's gonna fight Nikki.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, truly, of the Bellas, one's as good as the other. Yeah. Really. It'll be.
I mean, it'll be good because Nikki is more of the, I guess, between the two, I guess, more of the outgoing one, given all the drama that she's had with John Cena and she's no longer with him and all this other stuff. It makes sense, kind of, but I'm really not feeling it. I feel like it's just going to be one of those things where it's like, eh.
I don't think they have a reasonable fighting chance against Ronda Rousey.
Exactly.
I don't think either of them really do.
Right.
I don't know how they could get the win if they want to add a stipulation, what stipulation they could add to sort of push things in the direction of the Bella Twins.
And then will there be somebody in Rhonda's corner? Like, will Natalya be there?
That could sort of materialize as the time passes and we get closer to Evolution. Yeah, I think it would be best for her to have somebody in her corner. But she's Ronda Rousey. She doesn't really need it.
She doesn't need it. But as story, so hypothetically, there's obviously it's gonna go possibly three ways. So either Nikki wins, Ronda wins, or some shenanigans happen, and it just doesn't. You know, there's a disqualification. So the three possibilities. Then what next? And it's like, we understand that Nikki and Ronda, they're marquee players. So obviously you pit them against each other. But it's just like, I honestly feel like giving her the belt so early was, you know, it's too late now because she has the belt. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay.
She doesn't have anywhere to go.
Exactly.
Because she's been to the mountaintop. Exactly. So why go back?
Yeah. Like, what do you do when you get to the mountaintop? You say thank you, God, and then you walk back down. So is she going to roll back down the mountain? Like, what?
It's tough.
Anyways, I think we're ready for TK's boudoir.
Oh, yes, we are.
There we go. So if you do watch SmackDown, this is a direct ripoff from Christian's Closet, which I told him last week that I am ripping him off. So this is a TK's boudoir section where I just...
It needs some alliteration.
Alliteration?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Christian's Closet, you've got some alliteration there.
Do TK's boudoir,
no? I'm not saying I don't feel it. Sell it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, okay. So TK's boudoir is where TK, me, just takes, like, the beautifulness of WWE Raw.
Oh, yeah.
And we just, like, look at the beautiful things. Like, we forget the match. We forget the news. We just look at pretty people doing amazing things.
All right.
So, first off, Nia Jax's hair. I loved it. Him, not so much.
I like her better with a little bit darker hair.
I think this hair is fire on her.
I don't like it.
Amber Moon's hair, if you have been watching Amber Moon, her hair was in the very beginning. Now whoever's her stylist is doing an amazing job.
Yeah, I agree.
Her braids are popping.
I like the braids.
Leo Rush's jacket.
Yeah.
That's, on point.
I don't know where that came from.
Probably Steve Harvey's closet.
Yeah. But because it was a little baggy too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And then of course Bobby Lashley's body.
Just his oily body.
I kid you not, I am going to bet $1 million his body smells like cocoa butter.
Well, yeah. I hope it's cocoa butter that he's using on his back. You know, if you use baby oil, it gives you it makes your skin break out. A lot of the guys use olive oil. It's actually better for your skin than the baby oil.
Actually, you should put the olive oil right after you take the shower. So before you dry your skin, put the olive oil on and then pat dry.
Nice. Gives you a little sheen.
Gives you a little sheen, and actually, like, the olive oil actually absorbs versus...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good to have an oily towel, though.
It won't be oily.
It won't?
No.
You sure?
I
guess you gotta go light on the oil.
You go light on the oil. Yeah.
Like because of the water. Salad. Light
with
on
the water
oil.
And the oil, it's gonna, you don't need as much. You just need a little bit, and then you pat dry.
All right.
Then you add some cocoa butter on that mug, spray a little perfume, you're good to go.
All right. I'm gonna do that next time I feel like I'm getting, you know, getting busy. Just wait right here. I gotta go douse myself in olive oil and cocoa butter.
But after you take a shower, but you should take a shower before you get busy, right?
How much time do they have to wait? It's kind of my only question.
Well, like, I mean, you're a specimen, so they need to wait however long they need to wait.
But if I have to wake them back up, I think the magic is gone.
You're the destroyer.
I am. I'm trying to destroy you. Wake up. I'm trying to destroy you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I hope you guys liked that segment. I know most of you guys won't, but, you know, I'm leading today.
I remember asking you an opinion.
This is what we're doing. I'll CC Johnny and say this is what we're doing from now on. That leads us to Dolph Ziggler going up against Dean Ambrose. How did you feel about this match?
It's a good mix. I think we've seen this several times before, and I like what Dean Ambrose is doing now.
Mm-hmm.
He has always been a brawler, a kind of swing for the fences type of tactician. Mm-hmm. It got a little technical, but again, his bread and butter is just punching you in the face.
Yeah.
And he did that, and he's doing it in some more interesting ways. He used a setup tonight, just a big clubbing left to the back to set up for the front right. It was really nicely done.
Yeah, these two, their match, you can watch in various different weeks. It's always entertaining to me because they're very good wrestlers. But I'm hoping... It's one of those things that's catch 22. You want the storyline to advance faster, but then you also, once it does, or if they do, then it's gone and they need a new storyline. Then you're like, okay, well, what's coming up next? And it's one of those things where it's like, I want them to figure out what they're going to do, but I also enjoy the little hints of what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's what wrestling is really good at. You take an idea and sort of maximize it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to set up this match between two guys. Well, you're not going to have that. What you're going to have is a bunch of other matches leading up to that. So
right.
You really enjoy the moment these two finally collide.
Right.
And that's what we're getting now. That's sort of what television wrestling is. It's just elongating it.
When it's written properly.
Right.
Yeah.
When it's week to week like this, It's difficult to maintain the quality,
mm-hmm.
especially for the length of time. It's just kind of, it's muddy and you're doing the same things over and over. But that's how it is.
Right. Now, do you think, did you get to see Bound for Glory at all?
No.
Okay.
I saw pieces.
So you saw the whole drama with Austin Aries and...
Yeah.
Now, do you think that
Austin Aries? Yeah.
Well, do you think that WWE and other wrestling promotions can benefit from creating social media buzz, meaning like doing something like Austin Aries, but it's actually planned? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, also creating that division on social media. You don't think it would work?
They tried it. It's essentially Vince Russo's entire writing style.
Oh.
And it doesn't work to advance wrestling.
Okay.
It doesn't help legitimize the contest.
Mm.
If one person isn't taking it, I don't want to say seriously, but he's, you know, denigrating it, saying this doesn't matter.
Right.
This is all fake anyway.
Okay.
I don't think that's helping anything.
Okay. Well, just a thought. So Finn Balor and Jinder Mahal. I feel like this is one of those matches where if you're watching at home with the commercials, this is the time that you go to the bathroom because you already had dinner, or this is where you got the popcorn, or this is when, you know, you prep, you put the, this one you put the olive oil on.
Oh, okay.
This one, yeah, this is one, the moment when you put the olive oil on.
All right.
I feel this was the match that you could
We've seen Finn Balor and Jinder Mahal several times, and never have I felt like this feud is over more than right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is finished.
And what are they doing with, like, both of them? Like, there's no... I feel the Singh brothers are back. Like I said, pretty excited about that. And then with Foxy, it actually kind of... They can kind of do something with that, but it's like, where is he in the pecking order as far as eventually getting the belt, which I don't think he's anywhere close. And then Finn Balor as well. It's just kind of one of those things where... It's like you got to the mountaintop and you were able to put your pinky toe on it and then you rolled back down.
Well, that, to me, that makes you hungrier to get back.
Right.
But he has had a difficult time solidifying quality feuds and making and having plans come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that that's been a difficult thing. Like we said at the top of the show, you know, we make plans and God laughs, and God is laughing at Finn Balor.
You said that at the top of the show?
Oh, maybe a little. I said it.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Say things.
Okay.
You're not listening. Great. I feel appreciated.
Did you hear that?
Fantastic.
That's facts, though. God laughs at us all the time.
But I think Finn Balor's happy where he is. I think he's happy with the company. And I think it's a matter of time until he's back in a position closer to the title.
Right.
I think it's just a matter of time for him.
Yeah, I think he's one of those, he's in that group of people where, I think there's a certain group of wrestlers where they feel like they're forgotten, but they're still kind of there, so they kind of feel lucky to be there. Then you have that group of wrestlers where they know that they're going to be there for a while because WWE is feeling them, but they're not on top just yet. So if they stick it in, if they stick it out and they just kind of coast, eventually that's going to happen. And then you have the people at the top, like, a Roman Reigns, who's just like, I'm never going to roll down the mountain ever.
In wrestling, you take advantage of every opportunity that comes along, not because of some sort of idea of I must make the most of this, but truly to just keep yourself sharp. If you don't maximize everything, you just get bored, mm-hmm. and you turn into Dolph Ziggler. And nobody wants to be Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's making the money.
He got a good contract.
But he does not, he openly doesn't like his job. Truly.
Is that like 100% facts, or is that?
Well, it's just true.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't want to do this anymore, but he's making too much money to turn it down.
Yeah, and I don't think he's doing as many live shows at all, if any.
I don't know. If he's not doing house shows, that might be part of the deal. Yeah. I don't know.
That would be my deal, if I don't like my job and they still want me.
I'd want to do more house shows, because the house shows are actually way less stressful. The house shows are where it's at. If you want to watch wrestling, mm-hmm. if WWE's in your area and it's not a TV taping, go.
Oh, yeah.
TV tapings are long and boring. If you want to watch actually people having fun at their job, go to a house show.
I went to the house show, one house show in Ontario, where it was the Usos, New Day, Rusev, and I forgot who he's partnering with. And they literally did not quite the dance off of that they did before, but it was a lot more gyrating.
Oh, yeah. No cameras?
Yeah.
We're going to go
lot
out.
A lot more gyrating than usual. So Bobby Lashley goes up against Tyler Breeze. Another one where, so this is where, after you put the olive oil on, this is where you're patting your skin.
Nice.
Back. This is the match.
Yeah.
It's that where it's just
I'm gonna pat myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to pat myself looking at Bobby Lashley.
I mean.
Yeah.
That's, I like.
It's not, he's not my cup of tea. But I can see why many people would definitely do that.
You continue patting.
And this was interesting because it was the interruption of Finn Balor to bring out Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
And it was, to me, that's kind of a sign. If you're stepping on another guy's toe, another guy's TV time, that mm-hmm. means it's a direct challenge.
Yeah.
Almost.
Oh, it's going to be like, okay, setting it up.
Yeah.
The Leo Rush laugh. that is interesting.
Yeah,
like I loved when they started, but that, like, it's like five too many.
He's irritating.
Laugh. Yeah,
but that
laugh makes it more irritating.
Yeah,
it's just like
he's sort of one of those characters that you would really want to kick his ass, but you know he's actually just a little too skilled for you to just outright kick his ass.
It's one of those things where you're standing in line and you assess the person you think that you're gonna win, but this person's been a black belt since they were like 10.
Right.
Like, it's one of those situations.
You can't. It's not going to be that easy.
Yeah. Speaking of possibly something that's going to be easy or not, Alexa Bliss and Mickey James, they confront Trish Stratus and Lita. This is another segment where they had moments, like flickers of, oh, this is whoever is writing, great.
Yeah.
And then that person decided to go to the bathroom, and then like the backup, like whoever's the understudy decided to like just finish off. He's like, oh, just finish off. Like, everything's taking it. And it just,
because
it was practice for them.
I guess. Boy, they said it a million times. Yeah. If you had a drinking game.
Yes, I was thinking that.
And
do you drink?
Your word was practice. What? Do I drink?
Like, drink a lot. Have you ever had drunken sex?
Not a lot.
Have you ever had drunken sex?
Yeah.
Okay, just wondering.
Where are we going on this show? Yeah.
I mean, I think the people want to know
who and how
you destroy.
I mean, I went to Mexico not that long ago.
Okay.
And it got pretty messy.
So baby Banes are in Mexico somewhere?
Maybe. It was. We went to Papa's and beer and just tequila and all the beer. And then, yeah. Anyway.
You don't remember what happened after that?
Oh, I remember.
Okay.
It was messy.
Messy it sometimes was, good.
I yeah. Think. Yeah, not bad. Just messy.
So they had a little back and forth, and then, you know, they said bring it to the ring, and I knew it wasn't going to happen because Tristan wearing heels. Mickey yeah. James' top was literally held together by a clasp, like a necklace. Yeah. So that wasn't happening. So I knew that wasn't. It was just a like I feel
no
like,
one was there to hold the shoes.
Yeah, the shoes or the top, because Mickey James' boots would have definitely came out. She was not wearing a bra, and I mean I'm for all those tops, but like as a woman, I'm like this is not going to happen.
Yeah, you can't. There's you no can't way fight it's going to
happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen
that's
at all.
Just not.
So I mean, I feel like they should have wore something that would have been actually believable. It's like, oh, this is going to happen.
Lita looks like she could go. Lita she always. Like she This is like she's ready for
yeah,
a fight.
Yeah, Lita looked like she can go, but the rest of them, no. Not so much.
Not really.
AOP, they do a handicap match, apparently against...
some dude who some takes dude. A whooping.
Yeah, pretty much. It's supposed to be...
Not Kurt Angle.
Supposed to be Kurt Angle. It was supposed to be Kurt Angle, but I feel like the dude's belly was just slightly smaller than Kurt Angle, so I figured it wasn't Kurt Angle, and it wasn't.
Smaller? That guy had a punch.
Yeah, but Kurt Angle's is like a... punch, but like a hard punch.
It's a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's was just like, it was like smaller, not, but it wasn't, was it wasn't, there's
not
no.
in shape.
Yeah.
He got,
so it didn't go
was.
Too well. They defeat him, and then Kurt Angle comes out and says, no, 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 and body slams.
Yeah, gives Corbin. Baron Corbin the angle slam on the stage, and you see as he delivers it, Kurt Angle's face is like, oh, I'm old. Why did I do that? why did I do that? And he gets up.
This is going to be interesting. Natalia, she goes up against Ruby Riott. They get kind of, or she gets kind of disqualification. Or it's a disqualification. Another one. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Ruby Riott a lot.
I like the Riott squad.
Natalia a lot. It was, I don't know. It seemed like there should have been more... To stop the disqualification before it happened.
See, here's the thing. See, I know you're talking about TV time, but if you shortened up the whole Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella stuff to just the mic drop moments, there would have been something. Like, you could have did something with this match. And the same thing with Trish Stratus and Alexa Bliss. Like,
but if, they're trying to sell you the other stuff. These are just...
You're not selling it to me. You're literally, like... Again, I'm one of those people that if you can't hold my attention, this is the moment where I'm going to go and do some things, and it doesn't really... Because, you know, you have those TV shows where you can go off and do a couple of things and still come back and not have to, like, rewind. This was today's show. And you have those TV shows where it's like, oh, wait, what just happened? And you have to rewind? That wasn't today.
Yeah.
So even if you're trying to sell something, you weren't selling it to me because that's the that was the moment where I'm going to go and put olive oil on my body.
So it's olive oil time.
Yeah. So those are olive oil times.
Yeah.
And then another one too, where we're just kind of figuring out. I'm trying to figure out, and I hope this kind of goes well for him. Apollo Crews, he confronts Elias. They're going back and forth, too.
No Titus for Apollo.
Well, I mean...
Apollo has a beard now.
I like Apollo with a beard. He looks a little older.
Looks like beefy Carl Winslow. No, really?
Carl Winslow?
Oh, maybe you weren't here for that. But, Family Matters?
Yeah, but like, the dad?
Yeah.
No.
But like, fit.
Not even.
Yeah.
Carl Winslow, you look at like your uncle or your dad that there's no sexual whatever. Apollo Crews.
Well, this is like fan fiction Carl Winslow, okay? Whatever. Maybe he just needs the mustache. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Apollo just needs a mustache. Because we don't really have any. I don't think there's any black guys with mustaches. There's really not any white guys with mustaches on the roster. Come to think of it.
Does Xavier have one? I think he might.
He's usually got a beard situation.
Yeah, but he has like...
Not just a mustache.
Oh, like you mean just the mustache?
Like the Rick Rude mustache.
No!
Yeah!
No!
Yeah!
No. I can't even think of somebody... I mean,
Right!
I think Bobby Lashley might be able to... No, he wouldn't even... I mean, he could pull it off, but I don't know
why. I don't think Bobby Lashley could pull it off.
I think he could pull... That would be... Like, you know how they were talking about John Cena's hair? That's what he needs to do. Because it just seems like even with Leo Rush, it's just not... It's not hitting. Like, I'm not, there's nothing, there's the only excitement about Bobby Lashley is just seeing him, like, flex. Like, oh, okay. And then he did something else that, I guess.
He's very strong.
He's very strong. He did something else that if you noticed it, you can hit me up on Twitter at TKTrainet, but if you didn't notice it, then I'm not going to say it. I let...
Yeah. No, I know.
He did something where I was like, oh, that's talented. Does this happen in the locker room? If you guys have no idea what you're talking about, that was the moment that you shouldn't have gotten oiled up your body because you missed it. So the Shield, they go up against Braun Strowman and Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre.
This looked like a really combustible moment that had been building throughout the course of the evening. Right. Dean Ambrose on the outs with especially Seth Rollins, but also Roman Reigns. And McIntyre and Ziggler and Strowman at odds. It's tenuous, but it's not complete friction like it is for the Shield. Especially at one point during this match, there was a moment when Dean Ambrose was ready to lay out Seth Rollins. Yeah. And if it weren't for Dolph Ziggler, that is exactly what would have happened. Dolph actually saving the moment somehow. I don't know if he just couldn't read it, but he went and broke it up. Which, if I were him, seeing that happen, just let it happen.
Now, do wrestlers at this caliber do, because I remember when I went to NXT, the takeover here, it wasn't takeover, I think it was just NXT, I saw them before the show happened. They were kind of going through like the routine of what's going to happen for the show. Now, wrestlers at that level, do you know if they still go through that routine, or is it more of like they're professionals and I'm just going to read and then just kind of go?
It's half and half. You can't do it for the entire night. Mm-hmm. There's just not enough time. But for the major things, they do a little bit of prep before doors open for the show.
Okay. Just wanted to know, because it seems like sometimes you have to be great at like reading and ring awareness.
You
and all
do,
that stuff.
Yeah, and that's something that you learn over time.
So, if the Crown Jewel happens, are you excited? Well, I guess it. I don't know. Are you excited?
No.
I read an article about this.
No offense to them. But.
Yeah. I read an article about this, and the reason why they're bringing back a lot of the guys from like back in the day is because these are the guys that they want to see.
They're literally paying to see them.
A ridiculous amount. And I think they have a 10-year contract or something like that.
I think that's true.
Yeah. So that's one, if you don't know, but I'm sure everybody in the chat, you guys do know because you guys are, you know, avid fans. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why it's happening, which like I didn't understand. And then I read the article. It's like, oh, that makes
sense. It's a lot of money.
Right.
It's a ridiculous amount of money.
I mean, if you're old, wouldn't that bring you out of retirement?
Yes. But at the same time, if you're letting fans write the show, there's never going to be any new talent. Essentially ever.
No. Nope.
Because so many of the people watching prefer the established talent to building the new talent.
Well, I think it's a country thing. So even for, we had Zeta Zhang on Women's Wrestling Weekly, where she was talking about China. And it's just like, she's like, when China thinks of wrestling, they're thinking of the Attitude Era, which is why they were a little bit opposed to WWE coming in to...
There's also no word in Chinese for professional wrestling.
Oh, well.
That's not a thing that exists in China. They don't have that type of whatever it is, sport, performance art. They don't have it. So essentially, you have to go into China, as I know many companies have, and say to them, this is what it is, and sort of just try and get people to show up.
Right.
And just go, if you watch it, you're going to like it.
Right.
And because there's nothing equivalent in their culture with what this is.
Yeah. Well, even I think John Cena, he's been studying Mandarin for the last five years. So he's trying to make.
Right. He's trying to build a relationship, a rapport with the Chinese people. Mm-hmm. And that'll work. That's enough. Mm-hmm. It might be enough to get people to come.
Come watch.
He's a big guy and a big deal. Mm-hmm. And if he's big here and he's respectful to the culture, people can go, okay, now you have my attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll see. Any excitement for next week or anything that you're looking forward to?
Hey, McIntyre and Strowman is beginning to build steam, especially after the tag team match fell apart the way it did, and McIntyre intentionally giving Strowman the Claymore kick. I mean, and putting him out.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's put Strowman out.
So this
could
be a setup
way.
For... Yeah, I like that.
This is happening.
Yeah, this is happening.
When? I'm not exactly sure. And are Ziggler and McIntyre still a thing? McIntyre walks out. Ziggler's down in the ring after getting a power slam from Strowman. Has everybody in that threesome completely gone in different directions?
Here's the thing. It's Ziggler... It's no longer a thing, and Drew McIntyre is by himself. Now it gives Ziggler a time to go on break and do comedy, technically. So
true.
There's that. And with Drew and Braun Strowman, that definitely works. However, if Ziggler is not going on vacation, I'd rather see Dolph and Drew together going up against Braun. That's kind of how I'd want to see it. And my top looks really great on. Shout out to Femoral. I'm just watching myself, watching you guys on the chat. Anywho, where can everybody find you all oiled up and with no baby oil, just olive oil?
Olive oil.
You know.
Olive oil and cocoa butter.
With the babies in Mexico.
At Baines Destroy on the Twitter and Instagram. Wrestling for Wrestling is coming up a little bit later this month, I believe, on the 24th, 25th, whatever the Thursday is.
25th.
Just down the street in Burbank at the Moose Lodge. It's Ooh. Creepy Crawlers and Beefy Brawlers 3.
Ooh, any Beefy Brawlers like Bobby Lashley Beefy Brawlers?
Maybe. We had Becky Lynch in the audience last time. She came in and wanted to watch our show.
No, I mean like Bobby Lashley looking.
Looking? Eric Watts will be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Big Nasty, Eric Watts. They don't call him Big Nasty for nothing.
Okay, well, maybe you can invite the crew from Women's Wrestling Weekly to backstage, you know, to watch you do what you do.
Sure.
And appreciate and add people to TK's boudoir. Anyways, you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. Appreciate you guys for joining us. Also, if you guys are on AfterBuzz TV, don't forget to hit subscribe, iTunes, all that stuff. Do the comments below. We love reading your comments, even the ones there. There's one guy, he does like 20 comments in a row. We love that all that good stuff. Other than that, we will see you guys next week. Well, some for
bye-bye.
Us. Ciao.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.